I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? I told you it's not going to be as long as usual, but is it up there? I have a brand new series that usually on New Year's Day, I just give a little New Year's Day or something about candle lighting, and I'm just going to kind of introduce it today. In fact, I've got two. In a couple of weeks, not this Wednesday, but in a week after next, the candlelight, or let's see, this is my bandwidth. In a couple of weeks, there's going to be a brand new series on Wednesday nights entitled Aliens and Strangers. You say, well, why would I talk about aliens and strangers? Anybody know what book that's from? It's from 1 Peter. One of my favorite books in the Bible, one of the neglected stepchildren of the Bible books, in my opinion, because the New Testament is so dominated by the Gospels and by all the letters of the Apostle Paul. But 1 Peter is one of the most powerful and practical. Peter says, I'm writing to all of the believers that are in Babylon. How many of you ever felt like you're in Babylon? You know what that is? It's a big metaphor, even in his time. For trying to live out your faith in a world without faith. Does that sound familiar? Trying to be a Christian in a world that doesn't think highly of Christians. How do you walk out what it means to be a person that believes in God in a world that no longer believes in God like it used to? That used to be the default in our country. And now we're kind of a rare breed. Have you noticed? 1 Peter was written to those kind of people. He was written to the kind of people that were trying to be a light in a dark place, that were trying to walk out their faith in the midst of persecution and trial. So that's what Wednesday night's going to be. It's going to be kind of like a Bible study. Sometimes we do a topical or a historical study. This spring, I just want to spend some time meditating on the Word of God and encouraging one another. Does that sound all right? And as you can tell over my head back here, we're starting a brand new series that I want to introduce today that is from the New Testament, and it comes from one word. I don't know if I told anybody. Did I tell you I have good news for you today? Okay, I just had to ask because I can't really remember. So I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? All right, there you have it again now. But starting today and really starting next week in earnest, I really want to crack open this very big idea. In the New Testament, there are some words like righteousness and justice and peace and that are huge themes in the Old Testament. And one of my favorites from the New Testament is this one word, koinonia. You ever heard that word before? Say it with me, koinonia. I only knew it because growing up, when we had home groups at my church, they called them koinonia groups. And so it made you ask, well, I wonder what that is. Well, most often we translate it fellowship. But koinonia, it basically comes from the word koina or koine, which is where we get the word coin. So what's a coin in my pocket? It's something that is common currency. It means something that is shared, something that you and I both have. I have it, you have it. We all have the same thing in common. And so this word all throughout the New Testament is used at least a dozen different ways. Sometimes it means fellowship. That's kind of the broad idea in all of it. Sometimes koinonia is, and could you turn me up just a hair? Sometimes koinonia means partnership. Sometimes koinonia means serving together. Koinonia is actually the word for what we see down front for communion. So to share together in a meal and to share that union and that fellowship is koinonia. Say koinonia again. Isn't it fun to say? And there's times also where the Apostle Paul says, you know what? Those people in Jerusalem are struggling. We ought to take up an offering and contribute to their needs. You know what the word for offering is? You know it. I feel like this is going to be a Sesame Street episode. You know, anybody remember Sesame Street? They'd say, today's episode is sponsored by the letter C. And they just would hit that letter all day long. Well, the next few weeks, my message is going to be sponsored by the word koinonia. What does it mean that we share our life together? I believe church is supposed, and you could say amen anytime I say something that you agree with, but I think church is supposed to be more than just a service or an event. I think it's supposed to be a community where we share our lives together, where you know me and I know you, and we work together, we play together, we laugh together, and believe it or not, we even eat together. Sometimes I think our church has enough potlucks already. Then I read back in the Bible and I hear that there's a whole category, a whole spiritual category that has to do with eating. It's called breaking bread. Have you ever heard of it? Sometimes I think we take it a little too literally. Ought to change our name to Calorie Chapel, but it's a spiritual category. And there it is, brothers. You're not going to be able to see the top line because of what I did to fix that. Can you forgive me this morning? Do you know the Apostle Paul didn't even have PowerPoint? Can you believe? I don't know how he did anything without a computer screen behind him with the words on it. But what that says is all things in common. You can see the bottom part of it. All things in common. What? They fixed it? Oh, give them a big hand. These guys have been back there. All of us, we've been on our knees down there with flashlights and sweating and trying to figure it all out. But all things in common is the King James version of it. I like it better, but I just want to read this passage. This happens in Acts chapter 2, and it's right after the Holy Spirit was poured out on the early church. And the Apostle Peter stands up, and he preaches to them. He preaches a whole sermon. In fact, I want to light this. This is how my year has started so far. And then the air conditioning blew it out. I know I can. The air conditioner keeps blowing it out. See, I don't smoke. That's how I don't know how to do this. So, all right. I had a professor that would do this when he taught, and it was just part of his way of welcoming the Holy Spirit into the place. You know, candles at Christmas time were originally placed in the windows, and it was an idea of saying, Lord, you're welcome in this house. So in Germany, the Christkindling, the Christ child would come. They'd light a candle and put it in the window. So hopefully this doesn't go out. You want to hear a true story? You know that because all my stories are true. I have witnesses for most of them. But I was in a Christmas play. Me and my big brother, Bob. I know I say big brother. He's not bigger than me. He's just 5 years older. And he was Jesus. And we were at some Lutheran church. You know, our youth group would do skits and stuff like this. And we'd go, and our youth pastor, Dave, talked this Lutheran church into coming on a Sunday night and watching our skits. And like we were evangelizing these old people at the Lutheran church, right? And but they were polite, and they cheered. And the end of it was this dramatic thing like this candle, which is going to be used to light the candles. And my brother Bob comes out, and he was Jesus holding the light. And I came out of the side, and I was one of the angels or something. And I was there to go and light. And I was supposed to light my candle and then go take it to the rest of the world. And when I did, it put his out. So I put Jesus' light out. He looked at me and I looked at him just like a little brother would do. I just turned around and I just walked off the stage like this. And that was the end of the light of the world. But anyway, so I'm trying to make up for it with this one. So this is the day of Pentecost, and Peter gets through preaching this. And the next thing it says is about what happened to the church. What happened to the early church? And read it with me, would you? It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Well, there's at least four. There's actually five categories there. Did you notice? One of them was to the apostles' teaching. Now, the apostles' teaching, it was called, because they didn't yet have the New Testament. It wasn't finalized and produced yet. And so it was the teachings of the apostles as they taught from the Hebrew Bible. And then to fellowship, that's the word koinonia. You can translate it a lot of different ways. Partnership, working together, but just fellowship. And then notice what the third category is. The breaking of bread. And so That has to do with, of course, that's where we get the tradition of taking the bread and the cup, representing the body and the blood of Christ. But I think it had to do with more than that. It was that bonding that happened when they shared meals. How many have shared a meal with somebody over the holidays so far? Some of us have shared too many meals and need to share some exercise right about now. Then he says the third category was a prayer. That word can also be translated worship. And so it was just time devoted to communicating with the Lord. And then it talks about the wonders and the signs performed by the apostles. But all of these were categories of things that they would do that was a part of their discipleship and their expression of being part of a church. It goes on to say, and I believe this is just kind of a further description of it. It says, and all the believers were together and they had everything in common. Or in King James it says, and they had all things in common. They had everything together. And that word common is koine, where we get the word koinonia. So they had all things in common. They shared them together. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. So you hear what it means to have all things in common? One of the things is they pooled their resources together. And they made sure that the needs were met in their community. This is what we do every time we take an offering, is we're expressing our koinonia. The fact that this isn't my church, this isn't somebody else's church, this is all of us together being the church. And he is the head of it all. Amen? And then it says, and they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And then it says, once again, and they broke bread together in homes and ate with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You might wonder why I'm turning around. Not only is it not on the side screen, but I forgot my, I couldn't get my notes printed out either. So I'm just going to have to wing it. But here it is, this basic thing. He says, first of all, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I love to say this when it's New Year's time. If you're not a regular Wednesday night comer or plugged into Bible study somewhere, what a great New Year's resolution to say, this year I want to be a student of the Word. So part of being a part of a church is learning together. I have a friend who loves worship. He loves worship. He could care less about preaching. It's because he doesn't come here, right? No, I'm just teasing. He could care less about it. He says, Mike, he goes, at my church, I just wish they would do an hour and a half of worship because I've heard enough sermons in my life. And I keep telling you, I said, I won't tell you his name, but I said, my dear brother, and I love him, I said, that makes as much sense as saying, you know, this year I'm not going to eat ever because I've eaten plenty of meals in my lifetime. You know, we don't devote ourselves to the Word of God because we've never heard it before. You know, believe it or not, I've preached on 1 Peter before. I've preached on this passage before. But there are times that the Holy Spirit will just bring things to our remembrance that we need to hear it. And you know what's interesting to me is that you still come to this church week after. I was with some pastors about a month ago, and we were out on the balcony at the break at a meeting, and I just said, you know, have you ever thought about what a weird job we have? What a weird job we have that we come every week to talk to people about the Bible and they come and listen. It's so strange. If I went and heard a comedian one time, I wouldn't go back every week and listen to the same comedian tell the same stories over. If you come long enough, you'll start to memorize my stories because I only have so many of them. I try to get new ones all the time. But I said, but it's not about listening to me. This is something that we do as a community of faith. As we come, and we are all participating right now. Do you realize that? This is me speaking what the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart to speak, and you listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And this is something we do as a community. And so it's not just about learning something that you didn't know. I'm quite sure for some of you, I'm not going to say anything this morning that you didn't already know. But it doesn't mean you don't need to hear it. And so the Word of God, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth, that keeps proceeding from the mouth of the Lord. And so if you're not a regular Wednesday night person, I want to encourage you, try something new. Try something new or plug in. But just For example, one of my great mentors, and he's gone to be home with Jesus, was Tom Ferguson. He was a pastor up in Everett, Washington, and he was just, for a lot of pastors of my generation, he was just a man that was such a godly example. You know, he started off flipping burgers up in Everett. He just stopped alongside of the road, started flipping burgers and preaching to college kids. And then his church grew into one of the most prominent churches in our denomination. But he never changed. He was always just that real guy. And one of the things he liked to do is It Is Written's. Now, I've done this before. Here, anybody remember the It Is Written's? So to him, it was like a spiritual exercise, you know, because the Bible says this a lot. It says, it is written. And then he would quote something from the scripture. When the devil tried to tempt Jesus, he would say, it is written. And this is how he did it. And so read a couple with me, would you? So this is how it goes. Say this with me. Or this is a repeat after me. Usually I have you read at the same time. This is a repeat after me. Repeat this after me. It is written. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance. It is written. I can't hear you. Okay. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. It is written. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. Turning a person from the snares of death. Two more. It is written. He who walks with the wise grows wise. But a companion of fools suffers harm. It is written. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well. For it is your life. How many believe those words? There is power to that, friends. There's power. No matter how old I get, the last day I draw breath on this planet, I hope the Lord teaches me something new that morning in my devotions. I've been learning a lot of things that even in the last couple of weeks that I don't know if I'm ever going to get to teach them, because I get a little nerdy sometimes with the Bible, but I come up and, oh, honey, did you ever hear this in the book of Joshua? Did you ever hear this part? And she goes, all right, all right. And she's polite and listens, but it just, there's always something new. And I've read the book over and over and over, but there's always something the Lord could teach you. You are never too old to learn something new from the Word of God. Ever, ever. And so may this be a year where we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. And the second thing is breaking the bread. How many would like to devote themselves to the breaking of the bread? You know, he's not just talking about eating food. Fellowship and eating food, breaking bread is more than just nourishment for our bodies. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, it says, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. And you know, that's where we get the tradition of having church on Sundays. Did you know that? From that verse. And so I had somebody come years ago from another tradition and say, where does it say we're supposed to have the Sabbath on Sunday? And he goes, isn't the Sabbath on Saturday? And he, of course he's right. The Sabbath properly in the Jewish festival, it begins on Friday night through Saturday night. It's a day of rest. And so why do we do it? Somewhere along the lines, the early church got a hold of this verse because Jesus rose on the first day and they would get together and break bread on the first day. And so we meet on Sundays. I have no problem with people meeting for church on Saturday, but he says, let me see your calendar. Oh, he was so smart. Let me see your calendar. And he opened it up. He goes, what day of the week does your calendar start on? And I had tricked him because I've always used the calendar that starts on Monday. Totally messed him up. He's like, well, forget about it. Where's a real calendar? I said, yeah, you lost. Anyway, the point of it is we start off our week by breaking bread together and fellowshipping together. And so on the first Sunday of the month, we have communion together. And on the first Sunday of this year, we're going to take communion together in just a little bit. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That means the later it gets in life, The later it gets, whether or not it's talking about the return of Jesus or whether it's just talking about your going home to be with him. More and more, as life goes on, we need to encourage one another. We need to keep getting together. You say, well, why do I need to get together? And this is an invitation, too, to somebody. Now, if you're watching on YouTube and you've got some important reasons for doing that, I'm so glad you're here. But if there's ever a chance where you could be restored into being able to see eyeball to eyeball, because there are some things that just don't happen without being eyeball to eyeball, without being able to touch somebody. There's some things that only take place when we gather together in the flesh. And the last one is this, and then we're going to move to candles. And Tom, did you tell the guys back there what songs you're singing? Yeah. Awesome. I knew you knew what to do. The last one is praying together. And so, you know, it's possible. We can pray together. We can pray alone. God hears our prayers, but he puts a special blessing on that kind of corporate prayer. It's one of the things we do on Wednesday nights is we don't just lay hands on, we actually get in prayer circles and share prayer requests together. But this is one of the things that God has intended the church to be about. You know what I love about praying? Even before God answers the prayer, even before the miracle comes, already he begins to relieve something in my spirit because I know somebody cares about me. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I have the privilege of ministering to people all the time, or they catch me in the back or come down forward and say, would you pray with me about something going on in your life? And I'm so grateful to have a family where when I come and I need someone to pray with me, I had a couple people come up and just gave me a hug today and say, we're praying for you guys today. And I said, I'm so grateful because today might not be your day, but it might be my day. And I really need you guys. I don't know how badly you need me, but I need you. You guys are very important. You're my spiritual family. And there are times that I don't know if I would make it if I didn't have you guys in my life. You ever feel like that? I think it's so important for us to get together and to have koinonia, to have that power that helps us get through because we have each other on our lives. And so the last verse is this one. It's in Ephesians 6:8. He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And did Molly already go to get the little kids? Well, as they come. What? She's got her thumbs. I can't see that far, honey. Do you have thumbs up or are those candles? Okay. I can't see, I can't talk, I don't know what I'm doing. It's just, you know what? I love that New Year started off like this because I got no place to go but up after this morning. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. But I sure love these guys. And as the kids come in, does everybody have a candle? You all get your candles? So parents, if you could help kids, go be with your parents. The only instructions I have is I know it's tempting kids, young and old, to flick the wax on the nice chairs. So just try not to do that or try not to spill the wax. But so we're going to light the candles. Here is, I need some volunteers. Do I have some chief candle lighters, Miss Molly? I do? Where are they? Oh, would you please come up? Whatever you do, don't do like I did and put the light of Jesus out, okay? That's all right. If you do, we'll light it again. Oh, praise God. These guys are going to come around, and the symbolism is this, is that Jesus started off just as one light, but he said, we read it a couple weeks ago, but if I go to the Father, I'll do me even greater things than these will I do through you. And so they're going to come and bring the light of the gospel to each one of you as we light the candles. Let's sing together.
Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Sing it again. You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. Oh.
Are you, Lord?
All the earth. All the earth will shout your praise.
Our hearts will cry.
These bones will sing.
Great are you, Lord.
Would you stand to your feet with me today?
All the earth will shout your praise.
Our hearts will cry.
These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
All the earth.
Thank you, Jesus.
All the earth will shout your praise.
Our hearts will cry.
These bones will sing.
Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise.
We pour out our praise.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise.
We pour out our praise.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise.
We pour out our praise.
It's your breath
in our lungs.
So we pour out our praise to you only.
Great are you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, great are you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. Look around for just a moment, would you? Isn't this beautiful, wonderful time to just come celebrate the light of the world coming in. Now watch what a difference it is if you have it just down here in your own heart. Watch what happens when you lift the light up a little bit. Oh, man, isn't that cool? Just a little bit. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And so you can put the candles down, but just pray with me, would you? Lord Jesus, I just pray right now that this year would be a year where your Holy Spirit just moves in our congregation, where you pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, that not only that we would be a light to each other and shine the light bright in our hearts, Lord, but we would be a light to our whole community. Lord, that when people are hurting and when people are lost, when people don't know where to go, when people don't know what the answers are, that they'd find this to be a place of refuge. That not just this building, Lord God, but in this fellowship of men and women and children and people that love Jesus, that this would find be a safe place and a healing place. And Lord, right now, I just pray for anybody that just needs that word. May the Lord just bring healing in your life right now. We just give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said together, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You can extinguish your lights. So you can find a seat for just a minute. And if somebody's still got their candles, please extinguish them. We found there's a certain burn rate on the candles. And so down front here, what we have is 6 communion stations. How many ever taken communion at our church? So you can turn it back up to the preach level in the back. But so communion is it's the representation of the body and the blood of Christ. In our church, we have just a little wafer and it's a little grape juice. But those things are much deeper for us because when we take them and partake, listen once again. That word that I'm going to be talking about for the next few weeks is what we're doing right now. That when the Bible goes to say the word communion, the word is koinonia. It means to be partakers together. And so it's not just about eating or celebrating or remembering. It's about partaking in Christ. And so I want to invite you to come down as a family. So there's no rush. We're done with all of the official parts of the service today. There's plenty of time. Our experience is this moves fairly quickly, but you can just feel free to just remain in your seat till you see an open station and then come forward. And you've got a couple of options. If you're here by yourself, by the way, or if you see somebody by yourself, adopt them into your family. Just invite them. Hey, why don't you come and do it with us? And if you feel comfortable doing this, if you're a mom or a dad and you feel comfortable of just saying, let's pray and thank Jesus for his body and pray over the bread and then pray and thank Jesus for his sacrifice and for his blood and pray over that. And just take it as a family. Now, there's going to be a few people down here, myself included. If you're here and maybe you don't quite feel comfortable or just want somebody to pray with you, just turn and ask us. We'd be happy to help and to pray. But let's just pray and ask the Lord's blessing over this new year by taking communion together. Amen. 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 Worship you. Yeah, you can play over this.